Hello there, ladies and gentlemen, and welcome to another episode of CookieCast. Today on CookieCast, it's the Darkest Timeline. So me talking about how short this podcast is going to be, and then an hour and 10 minutes later, it's not a short podcast. Talking about energy. Energy. Yep, that's the thing. No internet. There's TV stuff, movies, and there's a few games this week. So plenty to be going on with. Before we start, please do consider like, share, subscribe, and comment. Leave a review where you can leave a review. Obviously, the biggest one is share the podcast around. That's the big one for podcasts. Right, let's get started. Here we go. This is CookieCast. The Darkest Timeline. Hello. How you doing? I've been having this thing all day today. I've been like, oh, I'm not going enough for the podcast. I was like, oh, maybe I could talk about this, and maybe I could talk about that, and maybe I could talk about whatever. And in the end, I was like, do you know what? I've got something for everything. Stuff to talk about. I've got some TV stuff, movies, games. I was like, just go with that. And just, if it's short and sweet, as they say. Then, later in the day, I was like, oh, what is it that I have got? And I started looking, I was like, I don't even know why. I've written down, that I was having this, like, really, really funky feeling. Super sort of lethargic, no energy. I think I'd spoken about it previously. And there'd been like, I think there was three nights, back-to-back nights, last week, where I actively, at like some point in the evening, like 8 o'clock in the evening, sat on the sofa and just went to sleep. Like it was an activity, like it was part of my evening, like, oh, you know, now I'm going to have my nap 2 hours before bed, 3 hours before bed, whatever. On one hand, you know, getting a nap. On the other, still managed to go to bed on those days. It didn't stop me going to bed on those days. But I was exhausted. And I always do that thing where I always jump straight to, like, you know, oh, when you're tired for, in some ways, no reason, or if you're more tired than normal, all those sorts of things. It's always like, oh, is it a sign of depression? So I was thinking about this. And I was like, oh, I'm going to talk about that, you know, being depressed and being down and stuff. And then I was like, I always do this. And yeah, you know, yeah. I'm going through some stuff. But I think a good, reasonable question would be, when is that not the case? You know, I'm often saying about, oh, I'm dealing with this or that or the other. In all honesty, I do feel like it's a little bit worse at the moment than normal, than previous, than before. But I think the conclusion I came to was, I don't necessarily feel like I want to bore you lovely people with that information. So instead, I'm going to tell you a story. Just as a complete aside, the other day, it was a weekend day, so either Saturday or Sunday. Getting towards the back end of the day, so naturally I'm like, oh, I'm tired. I said to my youngest daughter, I was like, oh, I'm going to sit here and close my eyes for 5 minutes. Why don't you tell me a story? Just, you know, random things you say. It was a few minutes later. It wasn't straight away. A few minutes later, she was like, I can tell you the story of Goldilocks and the Three Bears. And I was like, all right, okay. She was like, because you asked me to tell you a story. Like, yeah, that's true. And I'm like, at the age she is, I was like, okay, we're going to get some sort of abridged version of Goldilocks and the Three Bears. But it wasn't. She told me a complete version of Goldilocks and the Three Bears. And I was like, wow. And then she was like, Liana come in the room and she was like, oh, did you like my rendition? Obviously she didn't say rendition. Did you like my Goldilocks story? She was like, yeah, I was really impressed. Really impressed with all the detail you'd put into it. But it proper tickled me. I was like, wow, she clearly knows that story. It's one of those. It does help that I'm pretty sure she's been doing it at school. So, you know, I'd hope that she did know it. But whatever. I am now going to tell you a story. It's chocked full of first world problems. I am going to move very quickly because, you know, my old bones, my old body can't take certain things these days. Yep, I've reached that level, that age where, you know, if you move, you have to do all the noises with it, do all the sound effects. And I'm now going to grab a drink. Oh, deliciousness. So, Friday afternoon. Children sat watching Teen Titans. Teen Titans Go. I don't want to confuse anybody. Children watching Teen Titans Go. I am in the kitchen attempting to make tea and look something up. And a series of things happened. I went, I can't look this up because the internet isn't working. I walk into the living room and I'm like, is the TV working? And they're like, yeah. Oh, okay. So the internet is working. It's just my phone. So I get to the point where things are that bad on my phone, trying to get like a connection and stuff, that I was like, right, I'll just restart my phone. My phone's doing that thing at the moment where it's like, probably need a new one. And I'm like, absolutely not. So I turned my phone off, at which point my eldest appears in the kitchen. She's like, yeah, the TV's gone now. I'm like, oh, so it's the internet. So basically, internet went down Friday evening. I'm like, okay, you know. Have you tried turning it off and on again? Yes, I have. I can do like a restart thing through the app on my phone. I did that. And then the app was like, nah, mate, you need to do a hard reset. Ultimately, pull the power cable, which I did. And that didn't work. And then we got a red light. I'm like, oh, seems serious. So that was that. Ultimately, the short version is no internet. So I start running through in my head what I can do that doesn't require the internet. So I'm like, okay, well, you know, the game I'm playing on the Quest at the moment, I don't think that's going to need internet. But two of the other games that I've been playing, I believe they will require one, absolutely, because it's a multiplayer game. And the other one has... online elements, let's say. Like, those two I probably can't play, but I reckon I can play, like, I reckon I can play Into the Radius fine. So, that was that. Then, me and Leanne get into a conversation where we're like, we can't watch TV. We don't have TV, terrestrial television, in our house. Haven't had terrestrial TV the entire time we've lived here. We don't have an aerial. There was this whole thing about the aerial. It was found in the loft. Not connected to anything. Like, not up, not attached to anything. And just like on the, I don't know, I'd say like the floor of the loft. Which then in turn explained why we were never able to get a TV signal. So any TV in our house comes through a streaming service of some kind. Netflix, Prime, Disney. Leanne's got Now TV. So I was like, we can't watch anything. Unless it's some sort of Blu-ray. We were having a conversation about how our Saturday night, that's like our, like every other week, that's our kind of, I suppose, like a date night kind of thing, in the sense that we eat food and watch films. So there was that. She's playing a game, which is an unusual thing. And she was like, well, what about my game? I was like, well, I don't think it's got any online element to it, so you should be fine. So later in the evening, I put the Quest on and I went, what is the situation here? So the Quest worked. I could access, it was one of those things. At no point did it actually tell me it wasn't online. I'm like, okay. But the controllers didn't work. I was like, what? That's not a thing. Surely not. I was just like, the controllers can't be connected through Wi-Fi. That doesn't make any sense. Took the headset off, Googled it. Quest 3 controllers absolutely are connected by Wi-Fi. Now, I will come back to that statement later. I'm like, I am proper gutted at this point. I was like, I can't play the freaking Quest. What am I supposed to do now? Earlier in the evening, Leanna joked, she was like, oh, maybe you'll have to put the PlayStation on for once. So I'm like, maybe I'm going to have to put the PlayStation on. I go through to the games room. I switch TV on, PlayStation on, sit down. I've got a drink. I sit down. I'm like, I can't believe it. I'm here. PlayStation notifies me it doesn't have a connection. I'm like, that's fine, because the game in question I want to play, I don't believe will have an online element that requires, that stops it from playing. I imagine it's probably got some sort of online element, but to play it as a single player game, I think it'll be fine. At which point, a notification came up on the screen saying, the game that you want to play needs an update. And I went, well, that's fine, I'll just ignore the update and carry on. So I told the PlayStation I wanted to play that game, and it said, you can't play that game without doing the update. I was like, what? So then I went through a series of games. I went to the first one, it was loading, it was going through all the loading screens, and then it popped up, connecting to the server. I was like, shit. Like, right, that's the game I can't play. I put another game on. I was like, this one will be fine. I'll be able to play this. Then it told me it was connecting to the server. I was like, I can't believe that's a thing. I was like, I know what. I'm going to have a round of golf to calm me down. I'll put 2K23 on and just play a little bit of golf. Everything will be fine. So I put 2K23 into the machine and it loaded up. And then it told me it was connecting to the server, and I was like, it's golf. So that was that. Basically, I ended up reading a book because I knew that the book I was reading at the moment is currently downloaded to my device. So I didn't have to worry about that side of things. So that was that. That was Friday night. Oh, no. No, I've missed out part of the story. I've missed out possibly the best part of the story at this point. I go through a way of contacting my internet provider because I can't get to the online support through the website, through my phone on not Wi-Fi, like 4G or whatever. It won't let me connect. I don't know why. I don't know the reason. I don't know what's going on. So I found another way. I went through a social media platform, which took me to a chat at 20 to 8. I sent a message. There was a bit of backwards and forwards between me and whoever. 20 to 8, I sent a message. And 20 minutes later, 23 minutes later, to be precise, I got a response, and the response was, we can't help you through this chat. If you use this link, it'll take you to an online chat service, and they'll be able to help you. Please bear in mind, the opening times are 8 in the morning to late at night. And that message was sent at 8:02, having waited 23 minutes for a response. I nearly hit the roof on that one. So, fast forward to Saturday morning, I get up secretly hoping that it's all sorted itself out in the middle of the night, and it hasn't. Okay, no problem at all. I get up, I walk the dog, I get the dog back, I go, I drive over to climbing, I get out, I go for a run. I run back, I go climb. Towards the back end of climbing, Ed comes to me and he's like, what are you doing? I was like, I'm trying to sort my internet out. He was like, here? I'm like, yeah, I can do it through like a chat thing. I can do it through my internet app, all this, that, and the other. I was like, look, it's fine. I'll just sort it out when I get home. And that was basically what I did. I came home and I was like, right, the internet is still not working. I unplugged it, left it unplugged for ages. I unplugged everything and plugged it all back in, and it still wasn't working. I was like, right, I'm not messing around now. I'm going to phone them. I'm serious. I am ringing them up. So I got on the phone. I did a cheeky thing. I went through the complaints section of the website to get a phone number, because I was like, that phone number has to be one that will connect in some way. So I dialed through, and it was just the standard phone number in the end. At which point, I got through all of these different options. I'm ringing about my broadband. It doesn't work. It's not an existing issue. All of this. Which point it says, the fastest way. I was like, you're going to tell me to use the online chat. The fastest way to get help is through text. We have support people waiting to text with you right now, because we are super busy on the phones. Ultimately, it's just a way to get people off the phone. Part of me was like, for speed, that might be good. Another part of me is like, I need this sorting, so I need to speak to somebody. And then I was like, I'm gonna roll the dice on this one and take a chance. So, I pressed the button for the text thing. And it was like, you'll receive a text straight away. And then it disconnected the call. Not a problem, because I did receive a text, and it started out like a bit of a bot thing, but then it turned into a person. The person was like, can I ask you some questions about this, this, and this? And I was like, this is the problem, this is what's going on, this is the deal. They were like, right, okay. They asked if, questions like, have you had a power cut recently? Has there been any work done in the area? So on and so forth. They said, oh, can you tell me what lights are flashing on the main box, or send a picture? So I sent them a picture, and they were like, oh, is that one light flashing? And I was like, yes, it is. This was the point where they were like, oh, there's an actual problem there. So I can't fix it this end. They've been trying to do stuff at their end, and they were like, we can't fix it. You need an engineer. I was like, all right, okay. They were like, engineers don't work on a weekend. So although someone will continue to look at your problem, your existing problem, basically we can't get an engineer to you until Monday. I'll have a look and see if that's a thing. Which they did, and they were like, yeah, we can get one to you on Monday. Would you prefer morning or afternoon? And I was like, morning, because I want it sorting sooner. Ultimately, it meant that there would be no working from home on Monday. But it also meant that somebody needed to be here. So somebody needed to be here and not able to work from home. This went down like a lead balloon with a certain member of the household. So that was that. That was the end of it. It was so far through the day, Saturday. I'm like, if I'm honest, yeah, it's not ideal, but it's pretty much the best outcome I thought I was going to get, to be fair. They registered that there was something wrong. They said they would send an engineer, and they were like, we're going to send an engineer the first available opportunity that we can, which is Monday morning. Ultimately, not ideal. Ultimately, it is what it is. So, maybe about an hour later, I think I went and did a workout and came back. And I was dealing with my youngest daughter. My son was asleep. I was dealing with my youngest daughter. Like feeding, it was lunchtime sort of area. She was watching a film. She had to watch it on Blu-ray because no internet. So the film finished. I took the Blu-ray out of the machine. I put it in the box. I come through. I'm holding the monitor. I'm holding the Blu-ray box, and I came into the living room to put the Blu-ray back on the shelf. And I said, why is there a white van outside our house? I said to my youngest daughter, I was like, just have a look and see. Is that a van outside? And when she pulled the blind back, I could see this. There was in fact a van there, and it had like Kelly Communications written on the side. And I said, that's very strange that a communications van is outside our house when at a point in time that I have internet troubles. At which point somebody walked past the window, and I'm like, I guess they're coming here. I went to go around to head towards the front door, and there's a knock at the door. I go to the front door, I open the door, and the guy's like, hi, we're from like your internet provider. Like, okay. He's like, you got a problem with your internet? I'm like, yes. He's like, I've come to look at it. I'm like, okay. So I was like, well, come in then. He's like, all right, okay, where's your internet? I was like, it's over there. He's like, okay, when I'd look. He's like, all right, I'll be back in a minute. He goes out. There's another guy there. He's like, oh, you know, I need to do this, need to do that. They were out there for a while. They kept in and out, in and out, in and out. Next thing, he's like, right, okay, we've assessed that the equipment in your house is not the problem. The equipment in your house is working. So it has to be something at the box, the cabinet. We're going to go there. We're going to look at it. We're going to come back. Like, right, fine. They went. About 20 minutes later, they came back. You're never going to believe what we've found. Right. Go on. Right. The cable that connects your internet was trapped in the door of the cabinet and has been severed in half. So we've sorted that out, and now we're just going to check your internet. Oh, by the way, wasn't just yours. We're off to number 5 after we've been here. All right, okay. Well, there we go then. So I'm thinking, okay, so they've solved the problem at the cabinet. We're now going to be like, you know, 5 minutes sorting it this end. And away they go. An hour later, various points in time, they were running like a generator out the front of the house. Pretty sure they changed some wiring, cables. There was a big copper wire at one point. I'm like, what is happening here? I kept saying to Leanne in hushed tones, I was like, what is going on? Why is this taking so long? And eventually, I heard the phrase that everybody wants to hear when they're having their internet checked. Can I have your Wi-Fi password so I can check the speeds? Like, yeah, absolutely. So he did a speed test, and he was like, could be because it's fresh, but it's running a bit weird. Like, oh, okay. He's like, I'll give it a second, I'll do it again. I gave it a second, did it again. He's like, what's your average download speed? I was like, let's say 300 to 400. He's like, all right, that's interesting because I'm getting 700 here and this is the highest I've ever seen it. Like, okay, that's obviously a good sign. He was like, right, there we go. Job done, problem solved. Away he went to number 5. 20 minutes, half an hour later, he came back. He's like, I need to take a picture of the box. I need the serial number off it. All right, okay, whatever. So that was that. The weirdest, most random sort of situation where somebody was supposed to come on Monday and instead somebody came on Saturday. Not knocking it, absolutely, as far as service is concerned. It's a pretty good service. I think an hour after I reported it, somebody was on the doorstep. So, pretty good. However, there is a small footnote to this story, and the footnote is this. We've had to restart our internet twice in the last 24 hours due to the red light popping up on the router again. So, not entirely sure the deal there. Yesterday there was a situation where my youngest daughter had a party to go to. So, me and Liam were doing a bit of a divide and conquer thing. I was going to have my son in the morning. And Liam was going to take my youngest daughter out for the morning. And then she was going to come home and we were going to swap. And I was going to take my youngest daughter to her party in the afternoon. And Liam was going to have my son. So, I've got this thing. I'm not too ashamed. No, I'm not ashamed to admit this. My son is a one-man wrecking machine. If left to his own devices, I may have said this before, I may have spoken about this previously. If left to his own devices, he will systematically, single-handedly, one-man wrecking crew, destroy this entire house. He loves nothing more than emptying things. He gets a box, he takes the lid off, and takes everything out of it. So, I very much want him to be able to enjoy his toys. He has toys that the small boy that lives inside of me, that sounds wrong, the child that I am inside is very jealous of the toys that he has, even at his age, because I look at it and think, oh man, imagine if I was like that age and had the access to the level of toys that he has now. That's amazing sort of stuff. So, I have a tendency to take him out when it's me spending time with him, because I just can't watch him wreck the place. We just go out. We'll go out for a walk. We'll go do some shopping. We'll go anywhere but here. So he doesn't have the opportunity to wreck the place. And then usually by the time we've done whatever we're doing, we come back and he goes to bed. Another win in the house column. And then basically there is like an hour or a couple of hours. I'm referring to like a Wednesday where he basically just wrecks the house. This guy kind of like stemming the tide kind of situation, reduce the amount of time he's here. Job done. So my plan was get him out of the house. It was Sunday and it was a very nice day. I was like, if I go out today, I am going to need some sunglasses. Perfect combination. I've already been for a walk in the morning, get the dog out, but it's Sunday and I don't do, you know, quote unquote exercise. It's technically a rest day, so I like to cheat and find other places I can get sneaky exercise in. So I was like, we're going to go out. I'm going to stick him on his scooter, and away we go. Just as Leanne and my youngest daughter are leaving the house, my son produces almost out of thin air. I got him for Christmas this truck. I've been wanting to get one of my children this truck for years, and being, you know, the sexist person that I am, I was like, "Ooh, boy, truck winner!" It's a Hot Wheels truck. So it's a big multi-level truck, like a car transporter, but for Hot Wheels. So it's got, I think it's got like four, I can see it from here. I think it's got four levels. So you can fit four levels worth of Hot Wheels in. Obviously, if you think about the size of a Hot Wheels car, the truck's, I don't know, 1.5 feet in length. So think how many Hot Wheels you can transport. But that isn't it. If you unfold the truck, it turns into about, I'm trying to think how, it's got to be at least 10 foot, if not 12 foot. It turns into like a drag race strip that's about 10 or 12 foot long. The cab of the truck has got this, like a thing that you like hammer it, and it shoots two cars out the back of the cab of the truck along a drag strip. One point in time, me and my middle daughter, we're doing like a which is the fastest car thing. I did it with my youngest daughter. And the age that my son is at, for want of a better way of putting it, he just wasn't really interested in it. It's probably a bit old for him, and he's probably a bit young for the concept, I suppose. I've got a sneeze. There she is. So yeah, it's an item that I was like, hey, maybe he'll grow into it. So he's there brandishing this truck, and I'm like, okay. So I was showing it to him. I was like, you know, if you pull this bit up and you pull this top bit, that's another thing. It's very much a grown up would have to unfold it sort of thing. He can't just play with it in that way. But I showed him. I was like, you unfold it like this. You put the cars in the back. You press the thing, and away they go. And he loved it. It took him a little while to understand that you can't put your hand on the track and press the hammery thing, because ultimately the cars are just going to crash into your hand. That was that. You can't lean your arm over the track. Same problem. And he learned that quite quickly. So then it was like he had one car, and it was the 66 Batmobile. I was like, it's a great car, use that. So he put that in and he did it. And it was that kind of, he was just laughing at it. And I'm like, oh, bless. And then he was like, more cars. And I was like, oh, yeah, you know, you find more cars. Struggled to understand the concept that his big, he's got a Spider-Man truck, and the Spider-Man truck, very similar to the Hot Wheels truck, the Spider-Man truck takes Spider-Man cars, but the Spider-Man cars are big, big chunky cars. Perfect for his age. But he couldn't understand the concept that the big chunky Spider-Man cars don't go on the Hot Wheels track. And I was like, it doesn't go on there, mate. So I was like, look, what you want is this. And I got his tub of Hot Wheels cars. So I've been buying him like two Hot Wheels cars a week. A couple of times Leanne's got him a couple of Hot Wheels cars. So he's got like a little bucket of cars. It's like, you need these. Well, that was it. He was off. Put a car in, press the thing, away it goes. Put two cars in, press the thing, away it goes. Every time he did it, he was just proper laughing. And I was like, oh my word, this was it. This was the point. This was the idea. This was the whole point to this. I hoped that one day he would want to play with this toy. And I hoped that one day he would get some sort of level of enjoyment out of it. And then the whole thing would have been justified. Everything up to that point would have been justified. I'd been like, see, he enjoyed the item for what it was. And he just sat for ages just putting cars in, like stacking up a load of cars so far down the track, and then setting two more off to see, like, you know, they'd crash into each other or whatever, just spent ages playing. And I was like, it proper, like, warmed me. It proper, like, filled my heart. And I was like, oh, this is it. This is the thing. This is what this was supposed to be about. On a different note, on a slightly down side of things, there are some issues in the house. My youngest daughter and Leanne have been butting heads. It's really sad to sort of watch it happening. And I've said to my youngest daughter, she's not like that with me. She doesn't speak to me in the same way. She doesn't, you know, she doesn't talk back to me like that. There's just none of it. There's none of the way she speaks to Leanne. And I've had to say to her, you are not this person because you don't talk to me in that way. If you spoke to both of us the same way, then that's who you are, and we would have to do something to correct that. But that's not the case. That's not what it is. And it's just this big black cloud over everything at the moment. It's this constant, like, they're just butting heads. Last night me and Leanne were going through it, and we were talking about, like, why it is that way and what it looks like from her perspective, but on the flip side it's not okay to say certain things. And she really has this ability to sort of zone in on the hurtful things to say to someone. If I've been out, like, walking the dog or something and come back and there's something going on, I'm like, what's going on? And it's like, oh, this happened and this happened and this happened. And I'm like, right, okay. So she said this, and it's like, oh, wow, that's bad. And it is like she just zones in on, like, the worst thing to say. So yeah, a couple of punishments have had to be thrown around. I've had to turn into sort of the enforcer role, I guess. Just, you know, bring down the hammer. Just trying to correct things before they get out of hand. We have watched episodes 5 and 6. Well, we've watched episodes 5, 6, 7, and 8 of the Bear series 1. We watched episodes 5 and 6 earlier in the week. And I was just saying, I was like, I don't dislike it. I just don't know what this program is. It's a show where, on one hand, it's a really simple principle. It's really simple. It's like, there's this restaurant and it's failing, and there's this group of people and they're trying to make it not fail. That's it. And on the other hand, there's just all of these questions. So between watching episode 5 and 6 and then X number of podcasts to do through the week, losing the internet, our Saturday night was a little bit different to normal Saturday nights. We got to last night and watched episode 7, which I was saying, so we got so far through the episode. It was super stressful. At one point, I had to pause it because I was like, I need to go and get a drink. But I was also pausing it because it was super stressful. So I was like, I'm just going to pause it there and get a drink. But so far through the episode, I said to Leanne, I was like, I've just realised that the whole episode is one shot. It was, although it was stressful, it was really good, really interesting to watch. Just this, like, I don't want to spoil it, so all I'll say is it was just like this complete collapse of everything. And just this, these sort of like knock-on events. And then we watched episode 8, which turned out to be like a double episode. Now, the episodes have been like half an hour, whereas the last 8th and last episode of the first series was a 45 plus minute episode. So it was like a double episode. The one thing that has been through this entire program, through the entire first series, is there's just a lot of questions. What's this? What's that? What's the other? Some of the aspects and the questions are literally, what is this program? You know, I think I said last week, what restaurant is this? I thought it was like a sandwich shop, but they keep doing these meals, and then there's like, there's one guy making cakes, but he's also making, like, fancy pastry. It's just, there's a lot of questions. What I will say is this, and again, this isn't a spoiler. The last episode kind of opens even more questions, where there's a point where you're like, oh, maybe we get some answers. And nope. Just more questions. Very much one of those where it's like, here's your series one cliffhanger, and it's a doozy. It's very good. If you asked me why, I don't know that I could tell you. I just know it is good. We had a conversation today about getting started on series 2. I'm very much, like, there was a point last night where I went to Leanne and I was like, yeah, but what about this? She was like, I don't know. So the first thing I said about watching series 2 was, oh, maybe some questions will be answered. Or maybe there'll just be more questions. So, yes. Couple of movies. One, probably little interest, but I will mention it. And the other, who knows. I watched Renfield. It's a bit of a weird one, this. Not the film, not the film as such. I saw the trailer for Renfield. A little while ago, and I was like, oh my word, this is the role that Nicolas Cage was born to play. Because he plays Dracula, and he plays a very over-the-top Dracula. I'm like, this is the role. Come on, this is Nicolas Cage. I want to call him Ian, but Nicholas Holt, is it? As Renfield, Awkwafina's in it. Couple of other people. I watched the trailer or trailers and went, that looks like loads of fun. Fully expecting Leanne to be on board, she was like, that looks terrible. I am never going to watch that. I was like, what? So confused. She was adamant she wasn't going to watch it. I've had it since Christmas. And in the end was like, I'm just going to have to put it on while I'm on the treadmill. Because I'm never going to get it watched otherwise. So that's what I did. Over the course of a week. I mean, it's literally 90 minutes, I think. Over the course of a week, I got it watched. And at various points through the week, I kept saying to Leanne, I was like, honestly, I think you've missed out on this film. It's fun. It's funny. It's enjoyable. I did mention at one point some of the makeup and the special effects makeup for Nicolas Cage's Dracula, especially early on in the film, I was like, holy smokes, that must have taken a lot of applying that makeup. Again, it's one of those. I'm not entirely sure why I enjoyed it the way I did. I just thought it was a good, clean, fun film. Hyper gory, that over the top gore, lot of blood, lot of like. At one point, I said it was like. I can't remember what I said it was like. I don't know, maybe if, like, John Wick was a comedy. You know, that sort of thing. I really enjoyed it. I did say to Leanna, and she was like, well, maybe if you get to the end and you think that I've, you know, it's a must watch, then maybe we'll have to watch it. And I was like, honestly, I respect your decision that you're saying I don't want to see it, so I'm not going to be like, you should watch it. But I feel like you've missed out. Is all I'll say there. So, never know. Might get a rewatch. Another film I've had since Christmas. By the way, there's going to be a theme. There's going to be a theme for the next few weeks. Whilst I make a concerted effort to watch the films that I got for Christmas. Another film I got for Christmas, which unfortunately, for some, may be of no interest. It's a DC animated movie. Constantine, City of Demons. It's a really long story, which I'll try and make as short as possible. I looked up which films you need to watch to get a particular story running through the DC animated movies. And when I looked it up, there was a comprehensive list. I was like, oh, cool. I can just, you know, take this list, watch the films on the list, maybe get a better idea of the running of the story. Until I saw on the list that there was a film I didn't own. And not only did I not own it, I had no knowledge of its existence. Not a huge... I'm not like, I can't believe I didn't know it existed. Not like that. I just mean, I'd never heard of it. Like I say, Constantine film. Bear in mind, there's another film on the list that has Constantine in. So I asked for it for Christmas, and there was this whole thing. It's difficult to get hold of on Blu-ray. You can buy it digitally, but it was expensive because I imagine it's quite niche. Then I was kept up. I was kept informed with all of the ins and outs of this. Apparently, then it turned out that you could get a copy of it from a shop in the UK cheaper than. You'd think, and cheaper than buying it digitally. So that was sort of that. So I got it on Blu-ray, having no access to the internet Saturday. Not Saturday night. No, what we thought was going to be Saturday night, no access to the internet. The plan was for me to watch this film. And for want of a better way of putting it, I followed through with my plan to watch the film. What I will say, the other thing is, I picked it up to put it on and went, oh my word, this film is an 18. Not often you see that. Not often you see that in a DC animated movie sense. So I was a bit like, what makes this an 18? I was like, really? Is it really going to be an 18? I wouldn't show it to my daughter, my eldest daughter. That's what I can tell you on that one. It was just a little bit too much. I do tend to push the boundaries with certain things, especially if A, I've seen it myself, or B, I've looked it up to see what makes it the rating it is. This is one that I definitely wouldn't be showing my eldest. It was good. I enjoyed it. Obviously, when you think DC, it's, you know, Batman, Superman, Wonder Woman, Flash sort of thing. So Constantine is not up there on that list. However, in a certain version of the DC animated world, he's quite a big character for a variety of different reasons. Enough to get 1/2 of his own movies. So, like I say, big enough for that. He's an okay character. Like I say, when you're dealing with DC and you're not watching something that's got Batman in, it's a bit like, eh? Something I feel I have to mention because it really stood out for me. There was kind of a twist ending, not in the sense of, oh, it was bad. But no spoilers, but so far through the film, a character is asked what they would be prepared to pay or sacrifice to get the outcome they wanted, and their response was anything. So at the end of the film, this is a little bit of a spoiler, but I'm trying to keep it vague. At the end of the film, they're informed about what the sacrifice was. And it was a proper, like, wow! That's a sacrifice! And then, it was like, oh, and by the way, and it just popped a cherry on top of the shit sandwich. It was like, wow! That's a proper kicker. As I always say with things like this, if you're into DC, it's absolutely worth a watch. Don't expect any Batman or Superman type of situations. I can't tell you of a single character that I knew. There were other characters in it, not ones that I personally knew. Game-wise, as we know, couldn't get the PlayStation to work when I wanted to actually physically sit down and play PlayStation. So, I bought a couple of games. That's not true. I got them as gifts. But a couple of new games. One of those new games is a game called Contracts. All of this is on the VR. And the idea of Contracts was multiplayer shooter, but had quite a heavy single player side of things. So much so that I'd read a load of stuff that said, oh, it's definitely worth playing in single player. I watched some videos, I watched some trailers, I was like, this could work. And it went into a sale, and I went, perfect, that's what we're looking for. I grabbed my sale copy, got it installed, gave it a whirl. And it was absolutely nothing like the videos I'd watched. All it was a compound, like a training compound, that had a variety of different shooting ranges that required, or said it needed, a variety of different guns, which weren't available to me. Which I thought was interesting to start with. Then I start moving around the place and it's like, oh, you can do like a run and gun kind of obstacle with shooting type thing. I gave that a go. That was fine. I got a time. I tried it again. I got a better time. Then there was this one that was like, oh, you can do it for the entire compound. There's 55, what's basically like the paper target things. And you've got 5 minutes to do it. I was like, all right, I'll give that a go. I found 50. It gave me no indication where the other 5 were. It didn't give me an indication where the first 50 were. I just found those randomly. It gave me no indication of where the other 5 were. And the time ran out. So I was like, okay, I'm done with this part of the game. Let's move on to the game part. I knew there was something wrong because, like I said, I went to a variety of different shooting ranges and only had the guns that I started the game with. A handgun and a assault rifle, a machine gun. Well, there's something not right here. So I was like, oh, I'll press the menu button and see what menu options I've got. Menu button did nothing. Okay. I was like, I think the game is not operating properly. So I quit out of it, reloaded it to get it back to how it was supposed to be. Quitting out of it and reloading it did nothing. So there's no menu. There's this compound that is severely lacking. No additional weapons, and none of the stuff that I read in any of the reviews or in any of the videos I saw. And I went, I think this game hasn't downloaded properly, but if I'm honest, I don't know that that's true, and I don't feel like I've got the time or the patience for it. So I went back to the Oculus store and requested a refund, and because I'd had it and played it less than a couple of hours, the refund just went straight through. So that was that. A disappointing gaming experience. I don't feel it was the game's fault. I think it was maybe like the download and the install. So there we go. The other game I got is a bowling game. I think it's called Premium Bowling. I'm just going to quickly look it up. I don't want to tell you the wrong thing, is the short version. Notifications. It is not in there. Library. It is absolutely called Premium Bowling. So there we go. I can come out of that. Premium Bowling is, shocker, a bowling game. I read a review that said, it's really nice having a bowling alley in your house. This game was also in the sale, and I picked it up and went, do you know something? I'd really like a bowling alley in my house. One of those games that simple, but because of that, it has perfected the physics and mechanics it needs to be a viable option for bowling alley in your house. You can change lanes, you can change balls, you can change the pattern on the lane. You can have it multiplayer, online, offline, every single possible gaming scenario you can imagine. Because ultimately, it's quite a simple thing. It's a bowling game. Now then, number one is a downside. There was no tutorial whatsoever. Now, I know what you're thinking. It's bowling. How much of a tutorial do you need? A little. Just a smidge. This is how you pick the ball up. Do you need to, like, run backwards and forwards? Or can you just stand at the line and throw the ball? Where's best to stand to get a strike? Should you be doing this, that? You know, the questions that you want answers to. None of that. On the other, the counterweight to that, the con is, it's all very simple. You know where to stand, you know what to do, you know how to grab the ball, you know how to release the ball. It's very much up to you whether you do well. If you prepare everything the way you should and do it the way you should do it, you're going to do fine. You're going to go far in life. If you don't, I think we all know what's happening. It's going to be a gutter ball. Right, onto the heavy hitters. Ghost of Tabor. I played it one evening. And in the space of 10 minutes, I had died 4 times. In 4 different matches and lost 4 different sets of equipment. Reason being, fucking campers. And I'm not talking about the ones in tents. The number one reason that I don't like multiplayer games, especially multiplayer shooters, is because out there in the world there are 15-year-olds that spend 12 hours a day playing the same map of the same game, looking for the one place they can stand where nobody can see them and they can kill everybody. Over and over and over again. That's every multiplayer game that has ever been in existence, and it is why I hate them. And that's that. Up to this point, Ghost of Tabor had not been like that. Ghost of Tabor had been, a lot of the time, you just wander around picking stuff up and hope upon hope that you can escape. A few times you'll shoot some computer players because they're just there, and why not? And every now and then, you come round the corner and you get shot. And that's that. That is the game in a nutshell. Or at least I thought it was, until the other night, when I kept walking past particular points of time, where basically people were just stood waiting. You walk round, you get shot, you go back, you go there again, you get shot again. I know what you're thinking. Stop going there. It's a little difficult when you spawn 10 feet away from that area. I semi-rage quit that evening and went, well, that's the end of this game, because presumably that is what this game is going to be now. The next evening I said, right, okay, here's what I'm going to do. I am going to have one go on this game. If I die in the scenario previously mentioned, I'm done with the game. So I went in to my first match. I was walking around a corner and I saw two guys walk past. And I went, oh, computer players. And I was like, hang on a minute. I don't think they are computer players. I think they're people. At which point the guy at the back turned round. We kind of looked at each other. And then the shooting began. I ducked behind a box. Nipped out. Bang, bang, bang. These guys did the same. And I ended up losing in a battle between me and two other people. And I said, that is fine. I accept that. That is perfectly acceptable, because I didn't feel like those two guys were just stood there waiting for me, because they weren't. After that, I played three more matches where I didn't come in contact with anyone. Managed to get a few guns, a few bits of equipment here and there, and get out. And I went, there we go. Perfectly fine. Perfectly acceptable. Short version is, if I go back to it at some point and it's exactly the same as it was that night where I just kept dying and losing all my stuff, it's not gonna be fun. I get why people do that, but you're just ruining the game. And I'm not doing that. You're just ruining it for other people. I mean, you're just ruining the game. I'm never in the history of ever going to play Call of Duty, multiplayer, online, whatever, because of that very reason. I'd like it to be not the same for this, is what I'm hoping. Because I had the whole quitting playing Ghost of Tabor the other night, I had a chunk of time left for playing computer games and decided it's a perfect excuse to start Into the Radius again, which is what I did. Towards the back end of my last playthrough, I heard on the grapevine, and I'll leave that there, that there's such a thing as a healing artifact. It's like a little rock, and if you hold it, it heals you. And I was like, that is cool, and would have been really useful to have in the game. Into the Radius again, and discovered, yeah, you start the game with that artifact. Pretty sure I sold it the first time round. Yeah, absolutely did not sell it this time round, and pretty much thought I was invincible. Right up until the 10 times that I lost the artifact. In a variety of different scenarios and reloaded the game multiple times before discovering that healing artifacts don't last forever, and if you use them too much, they run out and then they just disappear. I was like, oh man. I've played it enough now that I'm back. I've just got the mission, the feast mission, which was a big pivotal point in my last playthrough. What I can say is this: it's different this time round. I imagine I am probably a little better at the game in some ways. I got into a proper firefight yesterday. All my weapons were out of ammo. I just needed to reload them, but I couldn't reload them all in one go. And I was getting hammered by bad guys. So yes, I've got the feast mission to do, which from last time, obviously it was quite difficult. I've made sure to take a couple of grenades with me because they're needed for the table. But pretty sure because of this massive firefight I got into, I think I've actually cleared a big section of the village where you need to go to do that mission. So we shall see what that looks like the next time I get to it. As is always the case, I was like, oh, I'll do a short one this week, and it's an hour and 10 minutes at this point in time. So I'll let you go. Yeah, I'll catch you next time. So there you go, what do you think of that? What was supposed to be just a quick one turned into not so quick, was it? Big thank you for joining, big thank you for listening, big thank you for being there. Before you go, please do consider like, share, subscribe and comment. Leave a review where you can leave a review. And check out the website, thecookiecast.com. There you can check out our social media links and our email button. And that way you can get in touch with us if you want to. That's it for this one. Until next time, I'm going to say bye, and I'll see you then.
Thank you for listening to this episode of Quickie Cast.